may receive something during worship. Maybe something this week. What is God saying to you today? All right, Linda, let Linda go.
I was reading my Bible this morning and just started Ephesians, and I read how deep and how wide and how whatever that song was, and I had the thought at that time, you know, we sing this song. Maybe we'll sing this song today.
All right. Amen. Anybody else? What is God saying to you that it could very well be pertinent to the rest of us?
Oh, my gifts. How small, how big, none are too big, small are just as glorious. And just recognize all that God is in our lives.
Man, another good word. What else does the Lord say? Worship team, if you have something, go with your mic, except for you, because we took your mic.
Can y'all hear me through this?
Yeah, it's coming through.
What I've been hearing, not just today, what Wade was saying, but I've been redeemed completely. I am a new creature in Christ.
That's a good word. And I think Teresa had something too, so.
Well, I woke up this morning, I've been kind of dealing with shame.
Okay.
And the teachings the past several Sundays, even it's just old teaching, you know. But I woke up this morning and Paul Berrick said, I look, had a smile on my face and I wanted to stick my chest out. So, I'm royalty.
Yes, yes.
Need to walk like a royalty.
There you go. Amen. Anybody else? Got somebody here. Glory to God.
I've been studying the authority of the believer this week.
That's good.
And how we're already seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus.
Yep,
took
yep.
me a long time to really understand that. I'm not sure I do completely. But anyway, how God planned for us when we're born again to be seated in heavenly places in Him, in Christ Jesus, and how we already share His throne.
Yes.
And I need to start living like that and being bolder, you know, and yeah. pray for the sick and see them healed and all that. Yeah. It's just a wonderful study. If you've never studied it, get the book, The Authority of the Believer.
Amen. Good work. I got something over here.
39 years of purposing in my heart to walk with God. I've always struggled with being accepted. So this week, Lord, I'm accepted.
All right. Amen.
In the name of God.
Amen.
And so are you.
Amen.
So I know that there's other people that struggle with this.
It really
so
is.
Be encouraged. God will show you that you are accepted. You are loved.
Amen. Yes. I thought of Ephesians 1:4 that you're accepted in the beloved. So, now that's a revelation and not just a verse. Amen. Who else has something? Who? Okay. Ray, can you go next? Okay. Never mind.
I had a realization this morning. You know, we had some craziness with our finances at the end of the year. And I kept feeling very lost and like, God, what do you want me to do? And so I know this sounds silly, but I Googled what to do when you don't know what to do. I Googled, God, what do I do next?
Wow.
And I found this article that this guy had written about the disciples after Jesus died. And it said they went back to what they knew, what they were doing before.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I taught for 10 years at a private school. And they kept asking me to come back. And I kept saying no, because I didn't want to, I wanted to stay home with my son.
Amen.
But life would have it that I just couldn't anymore. And so they offered me a job, and I took it. And so I'm back. And it's been hard, but I just thought it was the craziest thing, because I didn't even realize it until this morning. I said, Kelly, do you realize that I went back to what I was doing before? Like, and I felt peace about it. And I don't know how to explain that, but I just thought it was crazy because I Googled it. And it kind of, I know that God works in crazy ways in our lives. And I really feel like it's where I'm supposed to be, even though it feels a little weird.
It's good. Amen. Sherry.
As most of you know, we've had some really rough weeks at our house and in the hospital. My nephew passed away this week, and God uses some of the worst times in your life for some of the best things in your life. So a lot of people learn that this week.
Romans 8:28, right?
Anyone else?
I still hear God saying, I've got your back.
That's a good thing. I've got your back. That's good.
I've been stuck on the thought that I shared, I think it was last Sunday, that we don't have to fear the unknown. Because He knows. But He gives us promise after promise after promise of victory. And that's just been stewing in me. I can trust Him to give me victory, to do the Romans 8:28 thing, no matter how ugly or disagreeable it looks. But that's just been kind of guiding me still all week long.
What's been on my heart, His love, is it never changes. No matter what we go through and what we think, His love is still perfect. It still delivers. It's still freedom. It's still power. Everything. And to know that God loves me allows me to be able to look at others and have love in my heart for them and for everyone else. And so I'm thankful God can love me and does love me. Hallelujah.
Amen. Got one more? Couple more? Okay. This is all good. We need to hear it.
I was just going to say, I had been conversing with God this past week on, you know, just certain whatever. And I was thinking about a warrior and a soldier, and because we're all called into the army. And then it came out in prayer, I think it was yesterday or the last, I'm not sure, but it came out either yesterday. Yeah.
Yesterday.
Okay. Thank you. And I was thinking about this, like I said, all week, but it just was appropriate. And it's like a warrior, it's really just an experienced soldier. So I thought that's very, very fitting for all of us, as far as because we are called into the army, and I just thought that was cool, because in my life I've found that to be accomplished by prayer.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Anyone else? Dust.
Well, just what's been on something that a scripture verse that says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and depend not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path."
Amen.
Amen.
That's a good Bible verse right
there. Yeah, just to build on what Gene was saying, warrior and a soldier. You know, a warrior knows what to do, but he goes out and does it. But a soldier has to be told, gives orders.
Wow,
and we were listening.
Good. That's good.
We were listening to Don Francisco this morning, and I encourage everyone to listen to "You're Beautiful to Me." And it's about, you know, the prostitute that cried in his Jesus' feet, and then he reprimanded the whatever the guy's name, Simon, right. I think,
yeah.
Peter, Simon. But and her sins were forgiven, and she was beautiful to him. But she was a form of a warrior because, you know, she was a prostitute, well-known, kind you buy and sell, you know, it's what in the song. But she had the nerve to go and do it. And what was her reward? That she was forgiven.
That's good. Annette has another one.
Results.
We need to start over.
I have to start over.
Yes.
I think it was like 2 or 3 weeks ago. Let me start at the beginning. When I fell, remember, out of the truck, you know, and how black and blue.
Yeah.
Now I feel it's God's way to help me, because it was 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks ago. Because on the x-rays, the doctors found that I have a thyroid nodule. And both doctors seem to think it's cancer, but I don't think that. But I'd like for y'all to pray, lay hands on me and touch it, and maybe it won't even be there in the morning.
Amen. Carolyn, why don't you just stand right in the middle of the aisle there? That way everybody can gather around. Let's gather around Carolyn. We're going to pray for her. She told us about this a week ago. And sometimes I get so excited I forget to do things. And we're going to pray for this. Let's just begin to pray. Come on, church. Gather around her. Just begin to pray for that lump. Earl's got some oil there. We believe in body ministry here. Earl's got some oil. Let's just pray for that lump to dissipate. Thank you, Lord. 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 Oh, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Lord, we bless him. Lord, we bless Carolyn. We bless her thyroid. Lord, we bless her. We bless her with perfect thyroid function. We bless her body with your love and mercy and healing power. We just bless you, Carolyn. We bless you in the name of Jesus. We bless you. Healing, wholeness. Healing and wholeness. We bless you. We bless you. We bless you. We bless you. Bless you. In our midst, thank you that you took up, have taken up, brother, your abode in our lives. There is nobody like you. And we just thank you for your goodness and mercy. We thank you for your love. Thank you. In Jesus' mighty name. Say amen to that.
Amen.
Let's give it up for the worship team today. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, go greet each other. I think we still have some coffee. There's sinful food in there and holy food, depending on your particular preference. So, i.e., we got donuts and fruit. So you take what you want. Take a few minutes to fellowship with one another. Somebody you haven't seen, go give them a hug. Tell them that their word was good. Is Austin in here? So just go ahead and finish up all the. Eric said if we prayed over the donuts, they'd be holy food. So, and they do have a hole in the middle, so it works, right? So get your donuts, get your food. Yeah, sure. Yeah, you rock. Good report. Is it tomorrow? Can you go back? It's going to be a good one. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, you're a good man. Yeah, do it that way. That way I'll throw it up and baptize myself. So. All right. Hope everybody's good. Get that last coffee, grab that last donut. I'd like to announce that Austin is getting a new truck, and she'll be giving everybody a ride whenever it gets put back together. So she does have to get her license, though. We need to get that little small. All Hallelujah. Thank, very grateful for Shelbo's Shade Tree Mechanic, Shelbo Shop. All kind of good stuff goes on there. Thank you, Lord. Come on back in, and if you need your car detail, Miss Kim will be happy to help you. She's got that anointing, boy. She's like, what, I think they call her the squirrel. Is that what they call you, girl? The little squirrel that gets in there. And I mean, she gets the Q-tips out and gets into your vents and all kinds of stuff. All this new creative stuff happening, and jobs are being in. Is ever my wife, is she in here? My wife, after all these years of marriage, told me today that she was warm. She, this, it's a new day. I'm telling you, it is a new day. I have always been. I'm cold. So do we need to turn the air conditioner on this morning? Teresa's fanning. I don't know. We should go. Y'all remember the old Baptist church that had the, I call them the funeral fans, you know? I think that was back. I'm dating myself here. I really am dating myself. That's back before air conditioners. They'd raise the windows. Amen. I am. Come on, somebody. Come on. God is so good. I need to receive the offering, but my receiver guy went to turn the air conditioner on, so we haven't. I'm just ad-libbing until he gets back. So, hallelujah. You know, today we're going to receive our regular. The first offering is for the church and, you know, paying the rent and stuff. The next one is for the financial blessing for those who are in financial rock in a hard place. And next Sunday, what we'll do is have a basket. We'll process that offering, and the church will kick in a little bit, and we will have cash in a basket up here. And if you have a financial need, then we're going to pray over it and let you just file by and pick up what you feel like you're supposed to pick up. And then if there's more afterwards, we'll just make another loop until all the money is gone, and you can just take that and pay whatever, you know. Some of you might need to, hey, I gotta need to pay some taxes or whatever it is. I don't know what it is, but, and I know it's not a cure-all. I know that. Huh? No, yeah, checks. No, you can give me cash. We'll receive cash. Yeah, your cash is good with us. you know, we obviously, you know, it's not a cure-all, but it's just an act of faith that we want to be a church that blesses and serves. And that's what we're endeavoring to do. For any offer, if you have cash, raise your hand and Earl will give you an envelope so that way we can get it in the computer properly. Please put your name. Don't put it in an envelope. Don't put your name on it. Put your name on it so we know who it goes to and that kind of stuff. Keep Mr. IRS or Mrs. IRS happy. So praise God. Thank you, Lord. I do appreciate your faithfulness in giving, and God is good. I have personally, over the last 2 months, we've had a few that kind of filtered in here, but I have personally invited 37 families or individuals to come. And I had dinner with one family this past week. It was a wonderful experience, and he was Cuban, so we had a great time, and I had some Cuban coffee. You really haven't lived until you've had Cuban coffee. I'm telling you. You know, that stuff is good. You can actually stick your spoon in it, and it will not move. It just stands straight up. That stuff. And one cup is good for the entire week. You won't need any more coffee after that. So, but I had a wonderful experience with them, and we talked about what God was doing in Cuba, and so hopefully they'll be coming through here one of these days. So I was just, this morning I was praying, Lord, it'd be so cool if all 37 of them showed up at one on one Sunday. Wouldn't that be cool? Wouldn't it be cool to say, with all regular attenders, please get up and give your seat to all of our visitors. You guys sit on the floor, you know, so one of those type of things. Hallelujah. All right, regular tithes, this is what we're receiving. So I guess we're ready. Amen. Did we ever get the prayer from Hank? Did he ever send it?
I haven't looked up yet.
but you do have it. Okay. We're going to get that. I like that particular prayer. That's a good one. Lord, we just thank you for the opportunity to sow into your kingdom, and we ask that you bless the gift and the giver. We ask for miracles. We ask, Lord, for aha moments, revelation, knowledge to impart in our hearts. Well, Lord, and we ask for the increase of your love and mercy. Lord, we know it's always eternal, but our ability to understand it and to experience, let that grow this week. And we just thank you for this opportunity. Bless it, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you guys may receive that real quick? And hold on to your seats. And then once they get all that done, this is regular tithe. And then we'll take the offering for those that we want to bless next week. That's going to be a fun Sunday. That's probably when all 37 of my invitees will show up. Which is fine. I'd love it they showed up. You know, it reminds me when my son Luke, I told y'all that, right? When he was little, we took him to the big church, then they passed the offering. Everything was fine. He did good. He didn't act up, and we were walking back to the car, and I noticed there was a bulge in his pocket. And I said, "What is that?" And he reached in and pulled out this wad of money. I said, "Where did you get that?" And he said, "Dad, they're giving it away in there." So when the pot went by, he reached in and grabbed him a wad. I like church. Well, next Sunday, we're going to actually give it away. So that'll be good. Anybody need an offering now, an envelope for your cash offering for blessing others? Anybody need? All right, or we got a couple that need an envelope. Praise the Lord. You can. You get credit for it. Yeah. Yeah. I always try to get as much as I can from the IRS. So. Yeah, you can put your name on it. All right. Are we good? Well, Lord, ditto on the prayer for this offering, too. Just bless the gift and the giver, Lord. And also bless those that will receive it next week, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Receive that, guys. Thank you so much. I do want to have a couple of announcements. I thought I had. Oh, there it is. Okay. As they're receiving that. 7 o'clock tomorrow is our worship team meeting. Man, I tell you, I'm just so excited what God's doing in our worship team. Yes, ma'am. 7? Yeah. Is it 6? You're confusing me. Thank you. Okay, we'll go with 7 if I got you good and thoroughly. You can come at 6. That way you'll be here on time. You'll be here for prayer. Yeah. Yeah, you can. We'll pray from 6 or whatever, but I have to go pick Miss Wanda up at 6:45, so I'll only be here for a little bit. But 5 to 6 or 6:30 prayer, and then we can go from there. Is that clear as mud? All righty. Wednesday prayer at 7, and then we have throne room at 7. I understand that's still going great. And then we're just going to keep praying like we've been doing. As you know, if you can come. They're really good. Then Saturday prayer from 9 to 11, it's just really good. We really just have a great time praying. And Franco will be here on Saturday the 18th. He sent me a note day before yesterday. He is in Peru and speaking to the government officials. He's speaking to the president of Peru and to his cabinet. And then also kind of like addressing the Congress. I mean, the favor has just opened up. The president has asked him to go visit all the army bases and given him complete liberty to preach the gospel down there. So he's also got invitations to go into university campuses and even some high schools. So when he comes in on that Saturday, guys, that's our men's meeting. And then Sunday the 19th, when he's going to be loaded for bear, I'm telling you. So please put that on your calendar, guys, the 18th. I guess Dale slipped out, but we're going to have He's smoking us a bunch of meat, and we're going to have a great time. Some worship, hopefully, and then I'm also going to, I'll get you the number of people coming from Valdosta, but I'm hoping that some of the guys from Valdosta will come. Yes, ma'am. On the 18th, Saturday the 18th. See guys, how we inspirational. We're my wife is sticking her lower lip out. She can't go, evidently. So got to go see them grandbabies, right? Yeah, amen. So praise the Lord for that. Did I leave out any? Tomorrow the 12th, by the way. I'm serious in regards to inviting people. Please do so. And I don't even care if you tell them, hey, this Sunday, the 12th, is a special Sunday. I know you don't normally hear this in churches, but we're actually giving money away for those that have a financial need. And they may want to come that Sunday. I'm not doing that, obviously, to get people to come to church. But that was something that the Lord spoke during that service. And there's a great number of you here that you're looking at some stuff, and there's no reason why we can't show the love of Christ in a very practical way. So feel free to invite whoever you'd like to come to that service. Invite those people that say the church is full of hypocrites so they can see that we give money away and not take it all the time. And that way they'll have to think through what they're saying about the church, right? Guys, I'm trying to be funny. You're not even laughing at my jokes. What's the deal here? Amen. Any other announcements that we need to? And I don't need that on me. Thank you very much. That's about the. I'll turn it like that. So, thank you, Jesus. I want to try to finish up today the teaching on royalty. I'm going to do a lot of scriptures, kind of wrap it up today. You can go to Romans 12. This is a familiar passage of scripture. You all know it. If you want to turn there, and then I will go over to Peter and read that passage of scripture that we kind of start the whole thing off with. Peter says this about the church. First Peter 4 and verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people. Now God is not a respecter of persons, but we are special. And partly because he lives inside of us. And then he says that, here's the reason why. That you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. So it's not just an attitude, which I really haven't hit on this. It's not just a pattern of thinking, even though it is a pattern of thinking. But the reason why we're royalty, one of the reasons why, is to declare the marvelous glories of his goodness and mercy and love. That's why it's kind of like a coin, two heads and tails. It's the same coin, but it has two purposes to it. And that you were once not a people, but now you are the people of God. You have not obtained mercy, but now you have obtain mercy. And then Romans chapter 12, which you're familiar with, one of the most pertinent verses as it relates to our identity, when he says, I beseech you, verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And then he goes on to talk about the grace gifts that are given to the body. But if we're going to walk in the attitude of being a son and daughter of God, then Romans 12 has got to be operating in our lives. That our mind has got to be transformed from thinking like a pauper to thinking like a son or daughter of the living God. And when we think that way, you enter into whatever, and you know, someone said today about the difficulties of life. Just because, I think everyone here knows that just because you accept Jesus into your heart, it doesn't mean the difficulties of life stop. I mean, they can continue to go on. But when they do hit you, and you begin the process as a son and daughter of God, you begin to look for answers immediately. Instead of looking at the problem and wondering, oh my heavens, what in the world are we going to do with this? So you had an attitude of, I wonder how the Lord's going to work into this. Because in the back of your mind, you're thinking Romans 8, 28. That he's going to cause this to work for good for you and for me. And it sets your course in the way that you look at life and the way that you think about things. It is so important. As a man or a woman thinks, what? So is he or she. Now, you know, ultimately what I'm talking about here is the concept of being adopted. The scripture has a lot to say that we are adopted into the family of God. It's matter of fact, if you were to go to seminary in your systematics courses, usually takes about a year to get through all those courses, but if you took those courses, in that one of those courses, it would be several weeks of a teaching or a lecture on adoption. Because the scripture is full about being adopted. You and I are adopted into the family of God, and with that comes all the rights and privileges thereof. But if your mind does not shift, you won't ever receive the benefits of walking in the kingdom like a son and daughter of God. I told you last week, and Gene and I were talking about this, you know, we were praying for somebody that had TMJ. And in the middle of that, I wasn't thinking about this. I felt like it was a download from God. And I just recalled reading an article that some TMJ is caused by the fact that your spine's out of whack and your hips are out of whack. And one of the signs of that is that one leg will be shorter than the other because, you know, you just need a good visit. You need to visit a chiropractor, or sometimes the Lord will just crack that thing and grow your leg out as you pray for it. So I just, off a whim, said, sit down. His name was Daniel, a young man that got saved and filled with, it's just a wonderful testimony. He's 14 years old and walking with God now. Isn't that cool? Just a powerhouse for Jesus. And so I told him to sit down, and sure enough, it's about a quarter inch short. So we just prayed over that thing, and it was just, you could see things began to pop. And when it did, that leg just went poop and just came straight out. And the pain left in his jaw, of all things. I mean, it was the craziest thing. But see, if I hadn't have been in the presence of God and thinking, Lord, how are you going to heal this guy? Instead of going, I wonder what's going to happen. I'm thinking, Lord, how are you going to... It's going to be cool to see how you do with this. And Daniel's so full of faith. You know, he could have just prayed for himself, probably got healed. But when we did that, and then all of a sudden that download came and I just moved on it, God did it. That's royalty thinking. That's a way of royalty that God says, you know, one of the revelations to me is that God never did say, listen, if you go out, I will heal through you. He says in Scripture, you go heal people. And I know that that's kind of cocky sounding, but nowhere in Scripture that he says, you go and I will heal through you. He never said that. He said, go heal the sick. Now, he did say, obviously, do it in my name. But everything we do is in his name, all right? And so it's a mentality. Have you ever been around those people, and it's just really tooky to me, and you don't have to agree with this if you don't want to. But they get up there and they just knock it out of the park, this wonderful special, you know, they get up there and they sing and it's just a heavenly voice and and it's anointed, and it just ministers to so people. And you go up there with an honest sincerity and say, man, you rocked. And they go, oh, it wasn't me. I'm thinking, well, it sounded like you. Yeah. It wasn't me. It was the Lord. And the attitude is, I'm just an old worm that God is using. Well, no, you're not. You're a son of God. And you what? You know, one time when I was in leadership, one person said that. I pulled them aside. I said, would you please stop that? Well, it's the Lord. I said, no, I know it's the Lord, but it's you. It's your mouth that it came out. Well, what do you want me to do? I just want to be humble. I said, humble is not false confession. He said, what do you want me to do? I said, say thank you. I'm glad it blessed you. It blessed me. Just say thank you. You see, that's when you step up to minister, you better be thinking, God's fixing to rock the house because I'm here. I'm here. You know, I'm stupid enough, when I get on an airplane, I go, these people are so lucky to have me on this plane. This plane's going to get from point A to point B, and we're going to be fine. I can't say it otherwise. If I wasn't on the plane, I don't know what would happen. Now, I know that can be perceived as cocky or even arrogant, but the point is that wherever you go, wherever I go, we take him with us. He's there, and I think a lot of the stuff that happens to us, not all of it, obviously, but there's a good portion that happens to us that we just don't stand in the authority that God has given to us, as we were talking about this morning, and we just let it happen. You know, my daddy, I'm going to get in trouble here, but this whole bully stuff that goes on in school, you know, if I went home and I told my daddy somebody bullied me, you know what he would have done? He'd have spanked my butt. He said, why didn't you stand up? He would literally say, I taught you to stand up. What are you doing? And then he'd say something like, you're a shiver. I said, well, he's bigger. He said, I don't care if you get your... Well, I can't say what he said. That's a renewed mind kicking in. That's right. Hallelujah. He would say, I don't care if you get your behind beat. You stand up for that boy. And every time I ever did that, I only had it to do it once. And even if he whipped me pretty good, he never came back because I landed a couple of good punches. And I know where to kick in places where it hurts. You see, that's royalty. That's not, I don't understand, I'm fixing to get political here, how these people run around and they say, well, let's not make those jihadists mad. Here's a newsflash. They're already mad. And they want to kill you. You don't go up to them and give them a flower and say, here, hold this while you cut my head off. You don't do that. You stand up in the identity that God has given you, and you use the name of... I would rather come against those demonic things and use the power of His name and pray in tongues, and even if they cut my head off, I'd rather do it that way. Amen. Not backing down. And so this idea of being reinstated to a position of privilege. Please let that sink into your heart. A position of privilege as a son and daughter of the King. We talked about privilege. We talked about confidence. We talked about walking and abiding with Him and He with us. And ownership. That was a big one. I don't know how well I did it, but we talked about ownership and how you have to own the kingdom. And Jesus Himself said, I confer on you a kingdom. And then Luke, wherever it was, 19 or 16, he said, don't worry, the Father has gladly chosen to give you the kingdom of God. Gladly chosen to give you. You know why? Because he's looking to partner with you and I on the earth for the purposes of declaring the glory and the excellencies of his love and mercy and grace. They're out there every day, standing in line, waiting for a chicken sandwich. I guarantee you somebody's going to tell you a horror story. about how difficult life is and how this happened. And it may be just a heart-wrenching story. But that's the time for you to declare the excellencies. Have you ever been in the hospital sick? Have you ever had a loved one that was sick and how God moved and answered prayer? That's the time to share that royalty. You know, I'm a son. I've gotten away from Christianity. Not that it bothers me because I am a Christian. But I say now I'm a Jesus follower. Because now people will go, even in the South, people will go, huh? What? You mean Christian? Yeah. I love Jesus. Oh. Because in their mind they're going, that's different. Never heard of that. And it sets them up to receive the testimony. I ain't talking about the four spiritual laws and ABC, accept, believe, and confess. You know, I'm talking about sharing the power of what God has done in your life. And not 40 years ago, that week, or what someone talked about in their quiet time this week. Who was it? Cindy was talking about, I had that, the revelation finally sunk in. It went from head to the heart. I'm accepted. You know, I think I shared with you, I had that same thing in a similar way. I was driving to Valdosta, and I was just, you know, oftentimes I turn the music off and I act like Jesus is sitting in the seat with me, and I'm just talking away and having a good old time and trying to perceive what he would say back to me. And just out of the blue, I wasn't even thinking about it, out of the blue, he said, by the way, you're not a troublemaker. And that thing just lifted off of me. It was like an exorcism. Probably was. It just lifted off of me. And it was so powerful, I almost lost control of the car. I'm not a troublemaker. Now, I make trouble for the kingdom of darkness. But I'm not a troublemaker. I just happen to love Jesus and love sharing his testimony. And so it's one of those things. Now, let's look at this in Scripture just for a little bit. Can we do a Southern Baptist thing? And if I call out some scriptures, will you look it up and read it? Can we do, what do they used to call that? Sword drill. Let's do a little sword drill here today. Someone look up Hebrews 11:4. Who wants to do that one? All right, got that one. Then the next one is, believe it or not, Hebrews 11:5. Who wants to read that one? All right, Gene got Hebrews 11:5. Oh, this is a good one. Job. Can anything good come out of Job, right? Job 19:25. Who wants to do Job? Cindy's got Job 19:25. All right, Psalms 32:5. Who wants to do that one? All right, Stephanie, do that. Sean, will you do Psalms 103:1-12? 103:1-12. Who wants to do Isaiah 6:7? All right, Earl. Okay, we'll stop there. I got some New Testament ones. We'll let the rest of you. You guys are just Johnny on the spot here. This is good. All right, here we go. Who wants to, Phyllis, read your verse. I mean, read the reference and then read your verse. There it is. Did you see it? Did you hear the one in verse 11? Huh? Let's go back to it. Let me read it again out of mine. I don't know what translations you guys have. It says that Abel offered a more excellent and that he obtained this witness. What was it? He was righteous. Now, if he obtained that witness, guess what he was thinking? I was righteous. My brother, he missed the boat. But I was righteous. And the other one, what did it say about him? Enoch, what did it say? That he pleased God. Do you see that attitude of being accepted into the presence of God, being a part of his family? Do you have that attitude? Do I have that attitude? Do I walk around going, listen, I'm not talking about sinlessness, but I am talking about wholeness. And I will guarantee you, the longer you walk with God, the less you want to disappoint Him. The little lump of the power of the gospel, that little leaven that gets inside of you and it is worked by faith, it gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and what's getting out of you is the old way of thinking, or as the scripture says, the old man, and what's coming in you is this new man. I am righteous with God. There should be a time in your life when you realize you were a sinner and you needed the grace of God and you prayed that prayer, God, help me. I need help. Or it could be as simple as, if you're there, help me. He'll take anything that's based in mercy and a cry for help and admitting the condition that you're in. The words itself is not what's important. It's the attitude of heart that says, I've made a mess of things and I'm ready to turn it over. And when that happens, there's something inside of you that goes, something's different. You're not a theologian at that point. Don't know if we'll ever get to that point. But there's something in you that goes, something clicked. The God vacuum just got filled. And then the other one, according to Enoch, is what? I please God. Doesn't that sound arrogant? To stand up and say, I please God. You see, there's an attitude that's the difference between saying, I'm a dirty, stinking, rotten, worm sinner, and one that says, I'm a saint of God and who occasionally may sin. It's a total difference. Do you see it? Do you hear it? I please God. When is the last time that you said is, hey, don't have it down pat 100% yet, but I sure like trying to please God. Learning Ephesians. I used to have a Bible. It's all eat up now. I had to get rid of it because it was falling apart. But it was a verse in Ephesians that said, trying to learn what pleases God. You know how you stamp stuff on your Bible? That was what was on that particular version. It's based out of Ephesians. And even back then, I was understanding something about, this is not an impossibility. This is very much a reality that God wants me to walk in. That my conversation is going to be seasoned with grace. And that when I'm in the presence of Bubba or Bubba Rat and they're pontificating all their poison, that I still can respond in a way that when I leave them, they know that they just got slobbered on with the love of God. I got a big old German Shepherd at the house, and somebody keeps asking me to bring him. And I said, well, if we do, the Holy Ghost would break out. But I'll go to sleep on the couch. I'd be sitting there enjoying myself, snoozing away. She'll just come up. And I know she's there because she's like right here. And she's breathing in my ear. And I purposely don't move. And I'm just saying, well, what is she going to do? Yeah. And then she just gives me a bath. Just a love bath. Slobber everywhere, all over my face. And it's kind of like, okay, I'm awake now. What may I do for you? And it's usually go open the door so she can go run some squirrels or something. You know, it's one of those type of crazy things.
I'd be like, yuck.
Yes, but it's just one of those things. Have you ever just felt like the Spirit of God just came and just, kind of a gross way of saying it, but just slobbered the love of God all over you? You know? Just, Nancy talks about in some of her tests that she does with people, they get real cold because they have to keep it cold, and they have this blanket, I call it a microwave blanket machine. They stick it in there, and it warms up the blanket, you know. And they wrap them around these people, and just, you know, people just, half the time they fall asleep because they're just so warm, you know. I know these are silly examples, but that's the only way sometimes I know how to put this across, all right? Who has the next one? Who? It was Job 19:25. What a powerful statement. Of course, now it's even more powerful when you think that this was wrote, and he wrote it in a very difficult time a time of adversity when all of his best friends were giving him a hard time, and his own wife told him to curse God and die. And yet his response was, I know my Redeemer lives. Man, that's the rubber meeting the road, isn't it? I mean, if I stop right now and ask all of you to share me with the church about the difficult stuff that you have walked through or maybe presently, you know, walking in, I guarantee you somewhere in that testimony there would be that moment when you knew God was real and he's still living and he's still on the throne. That's royalty. Who has the next one? Psalms 32:5. Amen. You forgave me. I'm forgiven. Of course, the other half of that is I'm accepted. All right. Sean, did you have 103, 1, 3, and 12? No, 12. 1, 3, and 12. What a powerful statement. The realization of being forgiven by God is that fact that the Greek word is expiate. He has taken out of us all of our sins. He didn't go in there and scrub them up, you know. He didn't get the Clorox and the Comet and get in your heart and scrub it up so it looked clean and smelled nice. He took it out of you and I. And then what did he do? He put in what? A new heart, all right? All my sins are forgiven. If you are a son and daughter of God, that reality, and I'm going to talk about the two witnesses here in just a minute, but there's a witness in your spirit that says, I'm right with God. And that is not a statement of arrogance. It is a statement of relationship. Now, just as equally, I don't know about you, but it takes about 1/1000th of a nanosecond for me to do something or think something, and the Holy Ghost says, I saw that. Hey, you know why? Because he doesn't want my relationship to be broken with him. And I look upon that as one of my greatest gifts, that he loves me so much that he will convict me of my sin. Repenting is a joy. Did I assign Isaiah 6:7?
Yes.
All right, who has that?
Isaiah 6 and verse 7. And he touched my mouth with it and said, Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin purged.
One moment he knew that he was in trouble. The next moment God had touched his life and he said, I'm right with God. And then he said what? Send me. I'll go. Send me. I'll go. Tremendous transformation that occurs. Romans chapter 8, and let's look at this real quickly. It says in verse 15, For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, there's the word, that by whom we cry out, Abba, Father, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, and then if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. So there's two witnesses that occur when we come into a place of royalty. Number one, there's something in us that where we know that the Spirit says, you're mine. You're mine. And he is jealous over you and I. That's why people start messing with you. You need to start praying for them. I'm serious. Because daddy, is he's getting an earful. Yeah, they just as well try to rob a mama bear of their cubs. You know, you don't do that. Somebody sent me a little link where there was two little cubs out in their backyard. You know, they're cute. They're just so cute. You know, and they decided they'd go out there and mess with them. Wrong thing to do. And it was like a line of azalea bushes. And then everything was wonderful. But except when that little bear went, and this black thing came out of that azalea bushes, mouth that was looked like it was 14 feet high, showing teeth. And I'm telling you, that young man had a religious experience. He was calling upon the Lord. Feet don't fail me now. I mean, he was getting out of that place. But do you see that of our Heavenly Father? That when they mess with you and I, they're good. That's why. Has it ever occurred to you why they pray for your enemies? It's not because it's not a religious thing and I'm old lovey-dovey. It's because he's your daddy and he sees it. Pray for those that persecute you, or else I will break out in their midst and they will not like it. Does that put a different twist to it? You know, I used to say, pray, are you crazy? I'm going to beat them with a stick. Yeah. No, why? Because you see, you have such a relationship with God that he's viewing, that's my son, that's my daughter, what are you doing? You know, my daddy was the same way. My daddy, if he ever got white around the mouth and his ears turned white, get out of the room. You don't do that. And I've only saw him in the years that he lived. The only time I saw him that mad is when someone was messing with his kid. I'm telling you the truth. It's kind of like, okay, let's go sit over here and watch the show. And he never disappointed. He is such a good God. He does these things. Why? So that 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12, so that you and I will freely know the things that he's given to you and I. He wants us to know the things that's freely given to us. That God is always for our good. Now, granted, the timetable, you know, it's going to be on his timetable. But it's always for our good. And then the scripture goes on to say what? Our own spirit cries out what? Abba, Father. So you have the witness of his spirit, and you have your own witness. Last thing, real quickly. The culmination of all of this is what I call assurance. Is confidence. And the scriptures talk about three types of assurances. Let's read these together. Go to Colossians chapter 2, and I will close with this. It's good you didn't laugh. Colossians chapter 2. I used to have a Colossians in my Bible. There it is. And let's just read beginning in verse 1. For I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea, and for as many that have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knitted together in one, and attaining to all, here it is, ready? Attaining to all the riches of the full assurance of what? Understanding. To the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the measures of wisdom and in knowledge. I'm telling you that a part of this royal identity, what is a byproduct of it, in other words, it's something you can look in your life, and if you see this, then you know you're getting a greater understanding of walking in royalty, and that is the full assurance of understanding. If you don't know it, all you got to do is ask. And it's based upon the knowledge and wisdom that's in Christ Jesus. In other words, it's based upon, grounded in your relationship with him and his relationship with you. That assurance of understanding. that there is nothing too hard for him. And the difficulties of life, whatever it is, I love this. I Googled it. Only God could use Google that way. I mean, you know, it's great. I loved it, you know. Oh, okay. How many of you have been praying and asking God about a particular situation? And I know this is silly. People say it's silly. But you're just praying, asking God, and you open your Bible, and the first thing you hit your eyes is exactly what you needed to hear. Or in my case with Dusty that night when I was crying out to God, and he spoke to me, "What do you want?" And I told him, "I want you, God." I realized that was the right answer. But in my heart, it's like, "I want my son healed." And then 5 minutes later, he came back and said, "What else you want?" That's a good daddy right there. I said, "I want my son. I want him whole and healthy, and all these good doctors, I want every one of them to be wrong." And then the first thing, I mean, I was just coming out of my sleep, and it was like a megaphone, Jeremiah 30:17. Jeremiah, I didn't know what it was, and I looked it up, and it says, "I will heal your body and bring health to you." The assurance of understanding. Now, I'm telling you, that was my third day. From that day forward, I would sit there and listen to all of them. Well, good. I know you studied a long time for this, but it seems like to me you guys keep telling us we don't know. We don't know. I could do that and not waste all that money. I knew. I had understanding. Why did he do that? Because I'm his son. You are his daughter. That's what people do who are in love. They talk to each other. They comfort one another. And they don't make false promises. He is dependable and faithful. The next one, real quickly, or not so quickly. Hebrews 6, and that's the last, we're going to stay in Hebrews with these. Number one is the full assurance of understanding. Hebrews 6 will give us our next one. Hebrews 6, and we'll start at verse 9. "But beloved, we are confident of better things concerning you. Yes, things that accompany salvation." What is that? Royalty. "Though we speak in this matter. For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love which you have shown toward his name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that each of you show the same diligence," here it is, "to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises." Number two, attitude of royalty is the full assurance of hope. I asked Brother Ken Summerall before he died, and he's planted tons of churches. We've got leaders and missionaries and churches all over the world, and it's all because of his vision that he had way back in the late 60s and early 70s. He birthed the Liberty Bible College and all kinds of stuff. Got people preaching the gospel everywhere. And I researched him, so I knew he had some down moments, some really bad down moments, some depression and stuff. And I said, "Brother Ken," I said, "Ken, if you could just tell me one thing about the ministry, what would it be?" And he just, without even batting an eye, he said, "Don't quit." I said, "How can you say that?" He said, "Because there's a living hope inside every born-again believer. The full assurance of hope, which is also, you know, connected to faith, what the Scripture says. A living hope that no matter, it doesn't negate what's going on in life. It engages it. Knowing that God's a good God and He's all about hope. So if you have a derelict in your life that you're loving on and praying for, the thing that keeps you going is the hope that you see. Because when you pray for somebody, you see them differently. You see them whole, healed, delivered, no longer addicted or, you know, crack, cocaine. I've been praying for, we had a friend of ours who they got a divorce because she got hooked on, they're not our friend, they're younger friends. She got hooked on crack cocaine. She went to prison, got out, everything was cooking along. I've been praying for her. Then lo and behold, she relapsed, went back to prison for 4 months. And her first post, which was just last week, she said, "People can change." And I noticed this morning that she was allowed to go be with one of her little children for the day. Hope. Hope. The full assurance of hope. Faith is the evidence of things hoped for. Okay, last one. Go to Hebrews chapter 10. Chapter 10. Somebody's listening. Go to verse 19. "Therefore, brethren and sistren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God." This is it. This is such a good verse. "Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Therefore, let us hold fast the confession of our faith without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful." Full assurance of understanding, the full assurance of hope, and last of all, the full assurance of faith. We are a people that is defined by our faith. And that faith is grounded in our relationship with God. It's more real than the chair you're sitting on, or the concrete I'm standing on. Those are key to having a royal mentality. So what is it that first floods your mind when you're having a great day? What is it that first floods your mind when you're not having such a great day? Is it attitude of royalty? Is there expectancy? Wonder how he's going to get involved in this. Wonder how he's going to work this out. How will this be met? Instead of, that's typical. It always, why does this always happen to me? I can't believe it. I'm broke again. I don't have anything. Why did the car have to? Nancy and I were talking the other day. We're talking about vacation. Come on, get a witness right here. Go over to God. And she said, "How much money we had?" I said, "Well, we would have had a lot more if just his car hadn't have broke. New tires, new brakes, all this other kind of stuff." It's funny, you know, I usually go to Tire Mark and I tease Dave down there. I said, "Is there any way I can just put you guys on direct deposit every week? You know, and at the end of the year, we'll just divvy up what, you know, if I pay too much, you can give me a check. If I owe you, I'll write you another check." You know. But in every way, full assurance of understanding, full assurance of hope, full assurance of faith. And I'm standing here. All my bills are paid. I have food in the house. Got a pretty neat family. I don't have a thing to be concerned about. I got a lot to brag on. And even if all my cars fell apart, I got Joe and I got Bill And they haven't failed me yet. Now, Joe had to have a redo on the surgery on the knee thing, but he's doing pretty good. I want to walk in that attitude. I don't want to just visit it. I want it to be a part of who I am, regardless of what comes. And I hope all of us have more great days instead of difficult days. But it's true. In order to have a testimony, you got to have a test. Let's face it together as the true men and women of God that we are. Can I get an amen? Let's stand together. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So, Lord, we just come before you today. I pray that you just take the words that I've tried to speak about your goodness and your mercy and the attitude of heart that your kingdom brings to us. And I know we're all on different levels. And that's a good thing. It's not a bad thing because we're always growing. And I pray today particularly, if there's any area of our hearts and our lives and our experience with you that we lack in the assurance, Lord, of hope, of understanding, or of faith, that right now, God, by your grace, you just touch our hearts. I pray, God, that our minds would continue to change and go from glory to glory of the revelation of how good you are, how merciful you are, and how great you are, and how loving you are, and yes, how powerful you are. Let those three areas permeate every concern of heart and mind that we have right now. Permeated every part of our thinking. And I pray, God, for clarity of heart and mind to perceive what you're saying and discern what you're doing. And we love you in Jesus' name. Can you say amen?
Amen. Well,